Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
So there are still outlets putting out NFL power rankings, and I guess so. You know, look, content. Gotta have content right now. Content is king. And certainly the fortunes of some teams have changed to where it's relevant. You know, probably the biggest ones are teams that have made moves and decisions involving the quarterback position. The NFL.com power rankings I'm looking at, not very friendly to the New England Patriots, highly friendly to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But Seth, I don't know if you've looked at these NFL.com power rankings. If you have not, would you care to take a stab at where the Texans sit in these rankings right now?
I know where they sit in the rankings, which is where they almost always sit in the NFL.com power rankings, which is somewhere, and I haven't looked at this list, Sean. I know that they're somewhere between 14 and 17.
They are at 15, Seth. They're at 15.
Oh, okay. Almost smack dab in the middle, right? This is what the NFL.com, and I think accurately so. They've pointed out that the Texans, in a lot of respects, are a mediocre offense, a mediocre to bad defense this past season, but with some really good special teams, and that all balances out to about a middle-of-the-road team.
They were actually ninth at the end of the season, and which makes sense because they won a playoff game. They were one of the last eight teams standing. Given how it went for them in the playoffs in that divisional round, I would say they were eighth out of those eight teams that were still left standing, considering they gave up a 51-7 run after taking a 24-0 lead in Kansas City. So they dropped six spots in this NFL.com power ranking. The Patriots and the Broncos were the only two teams that had bigger drops. The Broncos one is a little bit weird. They dropped from 18th to 25th. I'm trying to think, did the Broncos do anything cataclysmic that would, anyways, but the Patriots dropping eight spots all the way to 16 is not a big shock considering that they lost their quarterback.
I think with the Broncos, it was just a matter of, okay, last year they were making a good effort with a rookie quarterback. And now they're saying, okay, going into a second year, and you don't know exactly what's going on. There's more uncertainty, I suppose.
Yeah, here's the paragraph about the Texans. Here's what it says. It's a trade that could go down as one of the greatest heists ever. Hopkins in a fourth to the Cardinals for David Johnson, a second and a fourth. Hopkins, arguably the best receiver in the league, was sent packing for 50 cents on the dollar in a seismic trade that puts Bill O'Brien directly under the spotlight and perhaps on the hot seat like never before. Hopkins used social media to downplay the reports of a fractured relationship, and O'Brien can present the trade to his boss as a move that provides future cap relief, imports a quality player in Johnson, and delivers welcome draft capital. But come on paper, the Texans got a lot worse. You can only wonder what Deshaun Watson is thinking, especially now that he's in cryptic tweet mode. Here's the interesting thing about this, Seth, about that sentence. On paper, the Texans got a lot worse.
Yeah.
The Texans... I retweeted, someone tweeted something this weekend to me that was just laying out the Texans as if the building was on fire, everything's terrible, and I'm not here to be an apologist or anything like that. I'm just here to bring the realism that comes with looking at the game maybe through the prism I do, which is the gambling world. The gambling world, which is usually pretty good at forecasting this stuff, sees DeAndre Hopkins as being basically worth half a win. They went from being an 8.5 win team to an 8 win team. Doesn't mean they're a good team, but that the sentence on paper, the Texans got a lot worse. No, they lost their best player, but the way football operates, and I think our audience knows this, if it were Deshaun Watson that they traded, then that would necessitate a move in a power ranking that would be, oh my God, these guys are a lot worse. As great as DeAndre Hopkins is, there's only so much impact that a receiver can have on the overall welfare of a football team.
Except I will say, I think the Cardinals win total went up by one full win. So whatever. Yeah. So, I mean, so maybe he's worth a win. Maybe he's only worth a half a win, whatever it might be. I think like anytime there's notable movement, I don't think DJ Reader leaving would have put any movement on it at all.
No,
I think when you make a huge trade like that and you lose your best player, it's just, you're flat out. Now it's a trade that doesn't get you better. Like unless David Johnson, now this is what I wonder about with David Johnson coming back is, the argument is that, okay, yeah, but David Johnson still has some ability as a receiver, and that's why you got him. Well, okay, but I got tired of explaining that the reason Duke Johnson wasn't used all the time was because he was more of a receiver than a runner, and in some game plans, look, they had to establish the run. So if you can underutilize Duke Johnson in the passing game, I don't understand necessarily how bringing in another guy to perhaps underutilize, who's no good as an actual runner from behind center anymore, I don't understand exactly how that makes you better. Even if you disregard all draft compensation and everything, it doesn't make you a better football team.
Yeah, I totally get what you're saying. I think the thing in that sentence there, and I guess that I took umbrage with the person who tweeted at me that I retweeted, because I think I retweeted them and said, I don't disagree that the Hopkins trade was a bad trade. I just think that your assessment of the effect of the Hopkins trade on the team was maybe overstated a little bit. The statement in here that they're going to be a lot worse on paper, I don't think they're a lot worse. And to some Texan fans, they probably wish they were a lot worse, because if they were a lot worse, it might hasten a change at the top. I still think, Seth, the total is 8 wins in Vegas. I would still take the over solely based on two things: Deshaun Watson being on the football team and Bill O'Brien's seeming ability to squeeze 9-win seasons at the very least out of whatever he's handed, other than the 2017 season when everybody got injured that year. Like, he's, yeah, you know, Bill O'Brien still finds ways to go 9-7.
I think the big question, though, is we don't have a whole lot of experience with what the offense looks like with DeAndre Hopkins not out there, because he's out there all the time. We do have experience with what the offensive looks like when DeAndre Hopkins is severely banged up, because he was in the final postseason games the last 2 years versus the Colts, mm-hmm. and this last year versus the Chiefs, and the offense didn't look so hot, you know? Right. So that's what I wonder about is, it's, yes, okay, a standard wide receiver, even a really good wide receiver, doesn't necessarily affect the win total all that much, but a lot of that's based on averages. I don't know how much of this offense is basically built and based on DeAndre Hopkins attracting attention away from other receiving options. Now, some people have made the argument that, hey, maybe in a small respect, this could be good for Deshaun's development, because he won't look at DeAndre as a safety blanket as much. I'm hesitant to buy that line of reasoning in this case, just because DeAndre Hopkins was a safety blanket, not just as a target, but also as a guy that helped make other guys open. So like you're losing this, you're losing the security blanket on two levels, not just one.
Yeah. We're talking about these NFL power rankings on NFL.com. The Texans are 15th. They dropped 6 spots. Just another team, not Texans related. By the way, the Cardinals moved up 3. They're still viewed as the 23rd best team in the league by the people putting these rankings together, for what it's worth. So while this group says the Texans got a lot worse on paper, it doesn't appear as though there's been a reciprocal improvement in their opinion. Cardinals up 3 spots. They're still in the bottom, near the bottom quartile of the league in terms of teams. How about the Chargers actually moving up 1 spot, losing Phillip Rivers and replacing him with Tyrod Taylor?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense, does it? And I think they got Chris Harris Jr. They bolstered their addition, or they bolstered their defense to the point where I think people feel like, okay, this will be a real strength and help out Tyrod Taylor. But what are they, 24th on here? Yeah,
they're 24th. They moved up 1 spot. I don't know that it doesn't totally make sense. I'll say this, Seth, comparing these two guys, and you're right, picking up Chris Harris, they made some moves on defense. That's a really good defense, at least on paper. I'll say this about the two quarterbacks, and this is where I look at it and I say this might make sense. is if Phillip Rivers was sort of a poor man's version of Jameis Winston when it came to turning the football over and making plays that damaged his team. Whatever you think of Tyrod Taylor as a quarterback, and I think he's good. I think he's good enough to win games on certain teams. He protects the football really, really well. He's usually, when he plays, he's typically at the very top of the league in terms of interception percent, you know, the percentage of throws that he throws and turns the ball over. He's the opposite of Phillip Rivers in terms of protecting the football. And I could see to where if the Chargers, what are they picking, sixth in the draft? So they were probably 5-11 last year. I don't have the standings in front of me. Could it be a version of a similar thing in Tampa Bay to where they go, man, if we just get somebody who doesn't throw 30 picks, then we're probably 9-7 or 10-6. I could very well see with the Chargers looking at it the same way where, man, if we just protect the football, we're probably going to be in every game that we're in and we'd probably go 8-8, something like that.
Yeah, and they added Brian Bulaga and Trey Turner, offensive linemen. So the offensive line has just been a disaster there forever. But it seems like even when they add players to the Chargers, somehow they figure out a way to botch it or guys get injured. And just I don't trust that they're going to be better. What's the over-under on average attendance for the Chargers this year?
Well, are we assuming that they're playing in the new stadium?
That's true. Yeah, never mind. Are we assuming that anybody's going to be playing in front of anybody? Yes. So
I guess the over, zero.
I guess the over under on anybody is going to be like, okay, how many people are there on a game day television staff? They'll be playing in front of 200, 300, I suppose.
Hey, I along those lines, I haven't read this post yet. I've got it bookmarked on Twitter to read, but it's from Mike Florio. And I don't know if you saw this, but it was an intriguing enough tweet to me to where I favorited it so I could read it after the show. NFL's contingency plans for 2020 should include the possibility of taking all the teams to the middle of nowhere for 4 months of coronavirus-free football. Reaction. Yeah.
I think that it's a great idea in theory, just like communism is a great idea in theory, but it kind of falls apart when you try to actually execute it, you know?
Where do you go?
It sounds like a really good idea. It makes a lot of sense until you figure on how actual humans operate. I don't know. Okay, so you'd have to ask players to basically be quarantined in some, I would say go do it in Vegas or something, right? Like Vegas is a bunch of, or some city that's otherwise somewhat desolate right now. Or like maybe if there's a convention center, go to Branson, Missouri. I suppose probably all those people aren't there vacationing right now. And you'd have to quarantine pretty much 15 to 1800 players, plus all the coaches, plus all the support staff, plus their families. I mean, this is going to be like one of those Soviet cities that they created. It's like out in the middle of Siberia to create weapons and stuff. I don't know if it's possible.
And again, I'm admitting that I have not read the post yet. I'm just reacting to the tweet that teased it and trying to picture what this is going to look like. And I'll read it and we can go into it tomorrow if it's something that is actually Florio's doing for real and not tongue in cheek. Seth, I think about it's football. Think about how many guys are on the Texans roster from weeks 1 through 17. Probably like 75 guys when it's all said and done. What do you do? Do you also sequester the other 1,000 guys that could potentially be on an NFL roster? Like, when they go through cuts in training camp, do you just keep all these guys in a building somewhere so they don't touch society? Because what if they go back out with the rest of us infected Jamokes and then they get called up or we had a guy go down for the season. We need you to come play defensive end for us. And some infected COVID-19 dude comes in and now all of a sudden we're right back to where we started again.
Oh, no, dude, this feels like North Korea, and it would be a failure. It would be the communism analogy is better than I was even thinking. Like usually, what happens in communism is the theory, the philosophy is, oh yes, the state will take care of everything. We'll have one central governing body, and they'll provide for all. We're all in it together. And then, meanwhile, midway through, like people don't all abide by the rules, and everything falls apart. So yeah, you're gonna have NFL players starving to death. Starvation, yep. Mass starvation, and potentially a cold war of some sort. No.
This is why we must flatten the curve. In fact, Seth and I are trying to flatten the curve on the pandemic of terrible things in sports.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.